So they have their own surgery center. So of course they keep all their youngest, healthiest, great same day patients at their surgery center, and the hospital gets the rest.
They cherry pick, huh?
Absolutely. But even though we're getting kind of the leftovers, we still discharge about 60% same day out of day surgery. But as everyone here, I'm sure, is aware, they're all considered outpatient, whether they stay overnight or go home same day. So we really want to up that 60% to get more like 80, 90%, because of reimbursement and things like that. So we've been struggling with that. When you have the sickest patients and they do go through pre-op optimization and they are really teed up prior to coming in. But we're getting those ones that are already dependent on a walker prior to coming in for surgery. And how do you get them through successfully in a same day model?
That's an interesting thought, because obviously if they're struggling before surgery, they're going to struggle a little bit after surgery. But then again, at the same time, I don't know, this was just my thought. If they're already using a walker, they should be used to using a walker. I don't know.
Right, they're just typically so debilitated coming in, functionally, and we've thought about prehab, and we've kind of investigated that to see, can we optimize them further pre-op and get better upper body strength and things like that, but we haven't had good luck with that being covered by insurance either.
Right. Well, and then you run the risk because some insurances only pay for so many therapy visits a year, and you want them to have the therapy after, right?
Right.
So is I wonder if there's something. So at least with ours, I'm giving them all of their exercises before. I'm wondering if you could have a therapist like create not a personalized prehab program, but why not create a little bit of a prehab program and give it to them a month ahead of time? Tell them you need to be able to do this, this, and this. I wonder if that would help.
So we do have a class similar to what you were describing. That's taught with our navigator and a therapist. So they are taught all their exercises beforehand. They can come a week to up to a couple months before surgery. And we have a book that they're all given with their exercises explained in there, as well as we use technology like it's called Streamed. It's a texting platform, but it has videos and reminders to the patients as well. And there's videos before and after surgery on exercises in there that the patient's supposed to be doing. Again, whether they're doing them, we tell them to do them, we encourage it, but that's kind of on their own.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you guys have any brilliant ideas for Tina? Nobody? I don't know. Okay. That's a good thought. I don't know. That's what I would do if I could, but and even with your cherry-picked patients, if they go to that too, I don't know. Does anybody else struggle? So I struggle with sometimes one of the things that we were struggling with too is my docs like the same day. Let's be honest. They don't want to come around on the floor. They don't want to see their patients in the hospital. If their patients can go same day, I mean, along with all of the benefits of same day discharge, sometimes people are just not good candidates. They don't have anybody to take care of them. They're not as strong. Like Tina was saying, we've started to add in one of my clinics, they have a nurse that works in the clinic. And he's started to ask these patients, because we were seeing that problem with these patients, he started to ask them what their plans were. I think he calls them, I want to say 4 to 6 weeks before surgery. And talks to them about, what are your plans? Who's taking care of you after surgery? It was interesting. And or how's your function? He was talking to me the other day. He's like, Lindy, I can't even believe it. Since you told me to call, we started calling these patients. There's so many that think they're just gonna go to rehab or they're fine to be by themselves. And I'm like, yeah, that's why I'm having you call them. So I don't know. Anybody have other thoughts about that? Oh, you're all quiet. Okay. What else do you guys want to talk about with same day? All right, I'm going to pick on people. let's see. How about Hannah? What are you hoping to get out of the same day discussion?
Hi. So I'm in Saginaw, Michigan. I am hoping our docs are, of course, we've been doing same day discharge for about a year now, but, we're running into, who's a good candidate. We're running into urinary retention. We're still doing spinals. We're still doing all of those things. So I'm just hoping to see what everyone else is kind of doing. And we're looking to change some things. So just looking for a few ideas on how to help our patients be more successful with being discharged same day.
Definitely. So I know that, so we've had a discussion, at least we had a facility meeting the other day. We had a discussion a little bit about post-op urinary retention. If anyone's looking for really good information, Anna Marrero, who is a nurse practitioner in California, if you can look up her information from the NAON website. She, at the virtual chapter meeting, a week ago, she did an awesome presentation on post-op urinary retention. One of the things that she was bringing up is even patients with a certain criteria, and I didn't get the criteria, starting them on Flomax 3 days before surgery, because Flomax technically takes 3 days to work. I don't know about you guys, but getting my docs to write it 3 days in advance is difficult. But I did have one doc on Monday at my facility meeting say, hey, why can't we give everybody Flomax in pre-op? And I was like, I don't know. Why couldn't we? It's not going to hurt anybody, right? So yeah, there's that one. There's a thought for that. I know that, that's what we've got. We've done stuff with our spinals are a little bit better. Does anybody have any brilliant ideas for Hannah?
I can share what we've done for post-op urinary retention. So we do spinals as well. We found, this was quite a few years ago. We track all of our ED visits. So we thought we were doing great with post-op urine retention and, people were going home quickly. Well, we found they were bouncing back to the emergency room pretty quick with urine retention. We thought they were voiding before they left, voiding adequately, and they weren't. So they'd end up in the ED and have a Foley place. So we implemented a POR protocol, which essentially, everyone gets a post void residual prior to discharge. And we have parameters set around that. And we also decided as a service line that urine retention is not going to be a reason that somebody stays overnight or stays in the hospital either. So we worked with our urology group. So essentially everyone gets a post void residual. If somebody's having problems with urine retention or having a high post-void residual, we consult urology. They will come see the patient in day surgery our patients return to day surgery, but PACU, whatever you want to call it. We'll give them some time. If they continue, we actually send them home with a Foley. They go home with a Foley catheter and they are still discharged same day, and they follow up with urology a few days later for a voiding trial in the office. We did have one surgeon on board with prescribing Flomax pre-op. He did it for about a year. We kind of ran a pilot with him to see if it would make a difference. And we didn't find that it made a difference at all.
There's no magic pill?
He still had the same amount of urine retention as his partners that weren't using it. So just throw that one out there.
Dang it. I was going to fix everything.
That's exactly what we thought was going to happen too. We are hopeful, but no go.
Cool. Hey, all right. Let's see. How about Massey KJ? What you got going on with your program?
Well, I am a newer nurse navigator to my program in like the 1 year. So I was just hoping to listen to everybody else's ideas.
That's okay. That's totally okay. You know, going, joining the rooms just to learn little things is totally fine. Totally fine. How about SO44938?
Yes, I don't know why my number shows up rather than my name, but that's just the way it is. Well, I'm actually in Montana. We just recently joined Intermountain.
Yay! You and I need to connect, friend.
I know that myself. Actually, I have a coworker. So we're, you know, my coworker covers hips and knees. I generally do the spine, shoulders, and ankles. And we are just really ramping up the whole same day discharge. And so I think it's interesting because you were talking about how your orthopedic floor has kind of turned into like a med ortho kind of floor, which is a little bit what's happening here. So what we're trying to work on is to actually have our patients come up to the ortho floor and be discharged from here rather than phase two.
So some of our facilities do that.
Yeah. Because I think we just had a meeting this morning with phase two and the therapy group and, you know, surgery scheduling, trying to think what we would have to do, how we could turn rooms around faster, you know, how to do the nursing, all of that. So we, like I said, we are just kind of starting to put together a protocol that we want to use. And, you know, there are things kind of like that retention. You know, generally when we have people stay overnight, we do two PVRs and, you know, the whole nine, but it can keep people around. And I know, so it's interesting, but our urology group is very limited. So we've had problems even just sending any patient home with a Foley. We are almost not able to get them in there to have that removed. So we've kind of struggled with that. But yeah, we're moving forward on the process. And so I wanted to see kind of like, it's interesting. Yeah, we would be nice to connect and just kind of see what you guys are doing, what your experience is. And I'm not the hip and knee person. That's my coworker, Dina. But
yeah, definitely shoot me an email at my email address or chat me on Teams because I got all sorts of stuff for you. Okay, hold on 1 second. I'm going to broadcast to all the rooms really quick and just tell them they got 3 minutes. So, oh, maybe I broadcast with a text. Meet. Sorry, I'm still learning how to do this. Okay. Says meet back in 3 minutes. I don't know if that showed up to us, but it's all good. Okay. Who else wants to talk? We got 3 minutes left before we have to go back to the thing.
I have a quick comment and question. So I commend you for trying the breakout rooms. They intimidate me very much. So good job. And then we do same day discharge as well from phase two in PACU. And Lindy, I know you and I connected back in 21 virtually, and we talked about the, you know, spinals and things. Still just baffled at how people are getting up 45 minutes afterwards, because ours are still taking like 2 hours, 3 hours. So interested in your, what you guys are doing for anesthesia. So sure. If you would share that, I would love to see what you guys are doing compared to what we are. I mean, I think we have a very forward-thinking anesthesiology group, but again, we're still struggling with ambulating quicker. And then the last thing, your observation unit, is that like a hospital observation unit that you're sending patients to, or is that like a specific joint?
So it's the hospital observation unit. So there's a whole long story with that. We have an ambulatory surgery center that we were finishing. It was a hospital outpatient surgery department, and now it's transitioning to an ambulatory surgery center, which has been a huge nightmare in and of itself, just the whole process of it changing. So in order for it to change, they had to move all of their cases over here to the hospital, which our post-op area, our phase two area, has 6 beds. And my totals take time. So as a temporary measure, they said, hey, can they go down to our observation unit? So it's a hospital observation unit. It's a 23-hour observation unit. Inpatient PSOs can't go there. You know, a patient's, instead of taking up a bed in the emergency room, if they're just doing chest pain protocols where, you know, you just need your troponins and your EKGs and then you can go home type thing, you know, they send patients like that there. Or patients, sometimes they will send histers there, you know, because histers don't always need to stay a super long amount of time, things like that. So that's where my my patients have ended up.
We have an observation unit, but our hospital is a little funky in that it's very far from our ortho. And so we were actually looking at maybe creating some type of observation unit that was strictly for our ortho population or an area versus sending them to the floor, because once they get to the floor, they're too comfortable and they want to stay the night.
Exactly. So our observation unit is on the complete opposite ends of the campus from our ortho unit, completely different ends. So if the patient ends up needing to stay overnight, transporter's got to take them all the way up to the other end.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yep. Anyway, so that's where mine is. Okay. Oh, we got to go back. So I'm going to go close all the breakout rooms and we'll go back to everybody else. Okay. I know that the breakout rooms are supposed to close themselves within 60 seconds. I don't know what that does, though. I know you guys are all with me, so you're all smart. Not that everybody else is not smart. I didn't. Yeah. Right? Did the breakout rooms close? Oh, yeah, 14 seconds. Okay, we're all right. They'll all come back. Everybody comes back. Hi, Paulina.
Hi. That worked out well. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. Okay. All right. Let's talk for just a couple minutes because we were just going to do a little bit of a discussion about what we talked about in our breakout rooms and anything else that anybody wanted to say, and then we'll be done. Can you guys believe it's almost been an hour already? Holy cow. All right. Why don't we start with you, Pam? Why don't you tell us about what you guys discussed in your forum?
It was so awesome. I don't know if we can share it, whatever Sarah and I talked about. Just talking about how do we reduce length of stay? And it looks like even across the nation, we all have those same kind of struggles. You know, what's being told in the offices, what's being told in class, meeting expectations for the patients panicking, those kind of things. But the nice thing about it is having a smooth process in place so we can expedite discharge for those patients. We can coordinate with all the different team members to get patients where they need to go in an expeditious manner. That's bottom lining it. Sarah, do you have something else to add besides how much snow you guys had?
No, that's it. It was just the two of us, so it was good. Bounce some ideas.
That's so awesome. Okay, now Pam, being thrown into this because I know you're a good sport, was that very hard to moderate?
It was difficult because Sarah kept showing me her beautiful out there.
All right. No, just saying. Yeah. Next time, if anybody wants to be a moderator, it's not very hard.
She did great.
Perfect. Okay. Paulina, you want to go?
Sure. We talked about the different things that we do as nurse navigators. So a lot of us call patients pre-op and post-op. And we talked about how that's reduced our ED admissions and our readmissions. We also talked about the program setting up some ultrasound for after hours to be able to rule out DVTs if patients call with swelling. What else did we talk about? Oh, getting thrown into care coordination, like home health and DME, where patients don't get their DME or they don't have their PT, home health PT, call them, contact them, which I don't think was in the roles and responsibilities of any nurse navigator when you sign up into this. And someone mentioned that they have the patients get all that equipment before their surgery, so it's less of an issue. But we, maybe this can be a topic for next month. We have not figured out how to do that. Lindy, we want to know how you do that. And I don't remember who it was that said it in the chat, but if you could let us know in detail. I know we were still talking and the breakout room ended.
Sorry.
It's all good. It was a good combo. How you do that, and then maybe we can help some of our fellow navigators address that issue.
Go ahead, Shanna. Go for it.
I also hand out a place we talked about, like I know we have like Silver Key or used equipment places. So I have a list of places where they can get equipment, and then the hospital does have a DME through the pharmacy. So they can list, see what the prices are, Amazon or that. So I think that's helpful, is if you provide that list. But it does become a challenge when you're kind of a regional area that you know, our hospital kind of does a wide range of places from Kansas to Southern Colorado to New Mexico. So that doesn't always work for everybody, but at least they have an idea of where they can get it, or they could call, and maybe when they're in town, somebody or family member could go and get that.
I love that. For my program, for what I do, part of it's left over from the beginning of COVID, when everybody had to be same day, there was no option to stay overnight. My docs write a prescription. When they schedule surgery, they write a prescription for a walker. It's put right in their packet. All 9 of my doctors do. So they automatically get a prescription for a walker. I talk about it at pre-op class too. And it's very rare that I have a patient that doesn't have a walker. And in pre-op class, I give them like the list of options. Talk about, sometimes some of the local churches have a shed that you can borrow one from, or go to the thrift store and get one, or get one from a medical equipment company, or borrow one. And we actually have in one of our videos, we talk about how to fit a walker to you, so that if you borrowed one, you know how to make it the right size. So that's what I do. Cool. So our same day discharge from the hospital, we had some good discussions about, sometimes ambulatory surgery centers kind of cherry pick the patients. And so in the hospital, you're left with ones that are not so great, right? But they still want to go same day, and how to get them into that. We were kind of talking about, what if these patients are already using a walker before surgery? They're already debilitated before surgery, bringing up prehab, but then you run a little bit of challenge with prehab because you only get so many insurance visits with therapy, So we talked about maybe even getting one of your therapists together and creating a little bit of a prehab program, just like on a piece of paper. I send my patients exercises. We were also talking about post-op urinary retention. And how to get patients out a little bit faster. I forgot who it was. Oh, I'm so horrible with names. I'm like, she was in the corner. So they were talking about how they thought they were doing great. And they had one doctor that prescribed Flomax for everybody before surgery. And his urinary retention rates were the same as everybody else. So that kind of blew my bubble, because I was like, let's give everybody Flomax the morning of surgery.
That's interesting.
I know, right? It's like, I was going to fix it all. Just give everybody Flomax. Yeah. Apparently she blew my bubble on that one. And we were talking about, it's interesting, the differences in different facilities. Like another facility doesn't have a huge, so the one facility, sorry, you guys, I forget all your names. I'm horrible with names. The one that had the Flomax thing, she talked about how they send their patients to follow up with urology in like 2 days if they have to place a catheter. But then somebody else said, you know, our urology program is not very big. She's from Montana. She said they're not very big and they don't have that support. So those patients end up usually staying overnight more, you know. So it was interesting to see the dichotomy. It's also interesting to me that we all still run into the same problems no matter where we are. That's interesting to me too. Okay. So that's what we talked about.
Yeah. So if there are any topics that you guys think that you want to discuss, please send us an email. We'd love to have topics that you guys want to talk about and that you guys want to hear about. So please, please, whatever you can think of that you want to know about, let us know and we'll discuss it in our next meeting.
Yeah. Oh, Tiffany. Sorry. I remember Tiffany was talking about too. She talked about spinals and how to get people up and moving faster and things like that. And I will definitely reach out to my anesthesiologist. I know we've done a lot with mepivacaine and then we've done a lot with our bupivacaine concentrations, which makes our spinals a whole lot faster. So those are definitely some things. I'll pull some numbers and ask our anesthesiologist exactly what we've got going on. Okay. We got 5 minutes. What else do you guys want to talk about?
Oh, there's a question in this office about how are we disseminating this info?
Oh, we recorded it.
So it's on the NAON nurse navigator networking. And then I'll actually email the link to that for last month, and I can email the link to that for this week. Is the emails working for everybody? Does everybody like to get the information that way? Because we've been posting it in the forums, but if we can do both, if people like it coming straight to your inbox, I do.
Email is great.
Okay, all right. We'll email the links once they're posted.
The other thing we think. Paulina and I were trying this. We think that we might have recorded 2 of the breakout rooms. We'll see as soon as the Zoom meeting's over if we actually did it, because I tried. So we'll see. Okay. Anything else anyone wants to say?
Speak up. The link on your NAON website was not up to date. So there was about 8 of us sitting in another Zoom meeting for about 10 minutes.
Sorry.
Oh, man. Okay.
Just some feedback to update the links on the NAON website.
Thank you, Sean. Yep. We will make sure that that gets updated ASAP. Thank you. Thank you.
Yep.
Cool.
Shayna, thank you. Thank you to everybody. I think there is a wealth of knowledge within this group, and being able to share it with each other, I think, is going to advance our individual practices so much. So thank you all for participating. I know we make everyone participate. You can't just sit in the meeting and listen. So we really appreciate you guys participating and being engaged. And we'll see you all next month. We can tell you what day. I don't have it open. Lindy, do you remember?
Oh, shoot. Okay, I was smart. No. Oh, hold on. It's on my other calendar. Hold on. Where's my calendar?
March 16th. Same day.
March 16th. Great.
Same place.
And we'll fix this link. Sorry.
Yes, we will. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Maybe have everyone introduce themselves at the beginning. Absolutely. Yeah.
In the chat. Yeah.
Totally. Okay. All right. Love y'all. Have a great day.
Lindy, happy birthday. Hope you have a good one.
Thank you.
Should be good. Bye, everybody.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.